good to be back here at the beginning of the year. It's good to see you. Last year, at this time of year, I looked out over you guys and no familiar faces at all. And this year, lots of familiar faces, so that's pretty cool. It's nice to be back this year. It's good to see you. I hope you're excited. I hope you're ready to learn a lot of good stuff. And I want to encourage you now to be a part of our Christian Crusaders Bible Memory Club. I hope many of you, I would love for all of you to get involved in that. Now, here's how you do it. It's very simple. Memorize a Bible verse. You may have already memorized a Bible verse and maybe forgotten it, and you need to re-memorize it. Do that. And then take a little piece of paper, or a big piece of paper, I don't care, just a piece of paper. Write down the reference, like John 3:16. You don't have to write the whole verse. Write down the number of words in that verse, because we go by words, not verses. So like John 3:16, I think there are 25 words. Write 25. Write your name. Come to see me. Quote the verse to me. And you're in the club. It's just that simple. At the end of the year, in the spring, I'll give you a certificate, and it'll have all the verses you memorized on there. And that'll be something you can keep. Now listen, I promise you guys, if you'll take me seriously here, it will be one of the most powerful things you can ever do is memorize God's Word. It changes you from the inside out. It also makes you a better student. As you learn how to memorize Scripture, you also can memorize other facts better, like English stuff and grammar stuff and history stuff and science stuff and math stuff. You know, it'll help you. It'll help you. It'll bring your grades up. It really will. God's engineered our brains so that the more we memorize stuff, the easier it is to memorize, and you just need to work on it. I also can promise you, you'll get some resistance there from the enemy. He doesn't want you memorizing God's Word, so there'll be all kinds of things that get in the way. Just make up your mind, I'm going to do this thing, and you'll be glad. So, in the next week or two, I'll start posting a report outside my door. You can see who's memorized and how much they've memorized. It's just a way of kind of keeping up with things and encouraging people, and I'll be talking more about that later. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay, do it. Now, let's shift gears for just a minute. I want to ask you a question. When you hear the word worldview, does it mean anything to you? Do you know, how many of you have heard the word worldview? You've heard it before. You've heard the word. You know, you're familiar with the word. Okay. What kind of things do you think we're talking about? What kind of questions come to your mind? If somebody says, what is your worldview? What are they talking about? What are they wanting to know? What kind of questions are we asking when we say, what's a worldview? Yes, ma'am. Okay, how you view the world. That makes sense, doesn't it? We call it a worldview. So how you view the world. What comes to mind? What are some other questions that come to mind? Think of anything at all? Haven't thought about this much? Well, I'm telling you guys, we need to think about it. One of the questions is, how did we get here? Where do we come from? Why are we here? Why are we living? Where are we going? What's this all about? Is there a God? And if there is, what's he like? And by the way, what's right and what's wrong? You see what I'm getting at here? Those are all kinds of questions that come into your worldview. What's the purpose? Why am I here? Those are questions we need to be able to answer. Now let me ask you another question. You know how many people there are in America, roughly, in the United States? I think a little over 300 million. Now you think about 300 million people all over the United States. Do you think for the most part, we all have pretty much the same worldview? You think we'd pretty much answer those questions the same way? I don't think so. Do you? I don't think so. No, you're going to get all kinds of different answers about what's right and what's wrong and why are we here and where are we going? How did we get here? You're going to get all kinds of answers. Now listen, what kind of school are you in? If somebody asks you, where do you go to school? And you tell them, they say, what kind of school is that? What's the first word that comes out of your mouth? What kind of school? Christian, yes. We are a Christian school. That means we have a Christian worldview, right? That's what we should be doing. We should be thinking about a Christian worldview. We need to understand this. Now, let me ask you, based on the questions I asked a while ago, what are some of the distinctives that come to your mind about our Christian worldview? Let me ask it this way. What separates us from people who are not Christians in terms of our worldview? What's the difference? Anything. There are lots of differences. Name something.
Everything we do and say ought to bring honor and glory to
God. Yes. We want what we do and say to bring glory to God, right? Yeah. Anything else come to mind? You're shy. I know you know some answers to that. Yeah. Yeah. Our life's all about Jesus, right? We got some definite things. How do we decide as Christians what's right and what's wrong? We've got differences in our opinions about what's right and what's wrong than the world does. How do we decide? Yes. Thank you. Yes. Based on what the Bible says. That's our textbook, guys. That's our rule book. That's our book of life for us. God says, my word is truth. And so we go to the Bible and we learn what God has told us in the Bible about how to live our lives, right? Yeah, we learn from Scripture. Let me ask you this. How do you think non-Christians decide what's right and what's wrong? Personal opinion? Who said that? Good. That's a good answer, Gibson. Personal opinion. They've got a personal opinion about what. How do they make up that personal opinion? You have any? You want to guess at that? Your guess is as good as mine, maybe, but you want to guess? How do they come? Yes. What they want to do. Yeah, their desires, their wants. Yeah, very good answer. Yeah. They decide what's right or wrong based on what they want to do, based on maybe their feelings. Yeah, things like that. I'll tell you something you'll hear a lot from non-Christians. It's not hurting anybody. They say, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it ought to be okay. I can do it. It doesn't hurt anybody. How do they decide what's hurting? Well, they just make up in their own mind whether it's hurting anybody. It seems to be hurting anybody at the moment. God says a lot of things we do may not seem to hurt anybody at the moment, but in the long range, there's a lot of damage. Yeah, so we got to think long range like God does. So can you think of some of the kinds of behavior then that separates us who are Christians from those who are non-Christians, things that we would say are right or wrong that they might disagree with us about? Can you think of anything? Can you think of some issues today that are major issues, maybe in the news, maybe for the past few decades, where we Christians in the world disagree? How about abortion? Yeah, you're nodding your head? Yeah. We Christians know that life is precious even while it's in the womb. A lot of non-believers don't think that way. How about euthanasia and assisted suicide? How about sex outside marriage? We think differently than the world does about that? You better believe we do, right? We got a different worldview. How about homosexuality or transgenderism? Past few decades, there's been a huge sexual revolution, and it's just picking up speed, guys. Right now in our culture, a huge sexual revolution going on. We got to think, what does God have to say about that? How about submission to authority? Big difference. How about freedom to practice our religion, our religious beliefs? There's a big difference in the way we think in a lot of non-believers. How about worshiping God? How about the way we use God's name? How about the difference between clean and unclean speech? Now, it goes on and on and on. There's so many differences. And listen, those disagreements are becoming more pronounced and more clear and more distinct. And people are getting angry about these things. They're getting bitter and upset about these things. And unfortunately, there are many, many people in our day who call themselves Christians, like we do. But they've begun to adopt a very, very non-Christian, non-biblical worldview because of pressure from friends, because of pressure from our non-Christian culture. So here's the question. In light of what I'm telling you right now, and I think you know it's true, for those of us who are really serious Christians, we've made up our minds, I'm going to follow Jesus. My life's all about Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. What do we need to be doing? What do we need to be doing? Does anybody remember what book of the Bible our theme verse is from this year? Does anybody know what that is? We got a theme verse for our school this year. You know where it's from? Anybody know? Philippians. Thank you. Yes, Philippians. Guys, you need to familiarize yourself with the theme verse. Let me read it to you. This is ESV. I don't care if you use another translation, but here it is. Listen to this. It's Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life, the way you live your life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are what? Do you know? Do you know what the next two words are? And then I may hear of you that you are, this is our theme, guys, standing firm. Standing firm. Standing firm. firm. Did you hear me say that? Standing firm. That's our theme. In one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And that's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Let me give you just a little bit of context for that verse. About 50 years after Jesus was born, that would be 50 AD, right? About 50 AD, roughly, Paul was in a little town called Troas. It's a little town on the what we'd call Turkey today, on the western coast of Turkey, on the Aegean Sea. And one night, while he was in Troas, he had a vision. And in that vision, there was a man who was from the Roman province of Macedonia. Romans had their empire divided up into provinces. He was from Macedonia. And he said to Paul in his vision, come over and help us. And Paul understood that to mean God was telling him, go tell those people over there in that Roman province about Jesus. So Paul had three of his very closest friends with him, Luke, Silas, and Timothy. And those four, maybe some more, got in a ship, sailed across that little northeastern part of the Aegean Sea, got to Macedonia, traveled on down the road a ways to a city called Philippi. It's about 150 miles from Troas. When they got there, it wasn't long till they got in trouble because there was a slave girl there who was demonized. And Paul cast the demon out of the girl, and it cost her owners a lot of money. So they had Paul and Silas arrested and beaten and thrown into jail, and then God worked a supernatural miracle to get them out of jail. Some of you remember that account. Very soon after that, left town. But when they left town, they left behind a very wealthy woman named Lydia, and her family all had become followers of Jesus. They also left behind a Philippian jailer and his family, and they all became followers of Jesus. Probably the slave girl became a follower of Jesus, and maybe some others. A little bitty church right there in that little town, surrounded by Romans, Roman culture there in Philippi. About 6 years later, Paul was on his third missionary journey, and he got to go back and see him and encourage him a little bit, but he didn't get to spend much time with him. About 6 years after that, this would be about 62 AD, Paul has been arrested, and he's in Rome. He's not free anymore. So he's writing letters. And one of the letters he writes, this is about 62 AD, about 4 years maybe before Paul had his head cut off. You remember he was beheaded by Nero. You remember that? He's getting close to the end of his life. And he writes this letter to these Christians in Philippi. And in that verse we just read, what he's saying is, look, I really want to come back and see you again. We don't know whether he got to or not. I want to come back. I want to encourage you. I want to make sure you're standing strong. You're getting strong in Jesus. But I may not be able to. But what I really want to hear from you, whether I do or not, is that you are what? Standing firm. I want to hear that you're standing firm. Why did he say that? Because he knew they were facing a huge pressure from Roman culture to not stand firm in Jesus. The pressure was enormous on them, just like it is on us. And it was hugely important to him to stand firm. Now, that's our theme, guys. That's our theme for this school year. We need to stand firm. Listen, there are people in the world out there who will yell at us, and they say, this is right, when God says it's wrong. Or they'll say, this is wrong, and God says it's right. Or they'll say, this is true, when God says it's not true. Or they'll say, this is a lie, and God says it's true. And they're screaming and yelling and making a lot of noise. And God wants us to stand firm. One reason you're in a Christian school is to be around Christian teachers who are committed to standing firm on God's truth and to helping you do that too. Now listen, guys, we can't do it for you. We cannot. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to make up your mind where you're going to stand. But we're there to help. We want to help. Any of us would be happy to sit down and talk with you about these things. I would certainly be delighted to. Any of you, work out of time, come by and see me. If you're struggling with questions, if you're struggling with issues, you get to feeling like you're under spiritual attack or emotional attack or mental attack or whatever kind of attack, don't go it alone. Don't do that. Come talk to somebody. Listen, a little bit further in this same letter, chapter 4, Paul was still writing these Philippians, and he's thanking them for the way they had encouraged him. You get that? He's writing this to encourage them. But in verse 14, he says, it was so, this is chapter 4, verse 14, it was so kind of you to share my trouble. What's he saying? He's saying, There have been times when it's tough for me to stand firm too. That's Paul. It's tough. Philippians kept helping him stand firm. And of course, by writing this letter, he's helping them stand firm. And in the same way, we want you to keep on standing firm this school year. We want you to let us help you do that. Let us help you. We want to help you. We're here for you. And by the way, you can encourage us too, like the Philippians encouraged Paul. We need encouragement too. We all do. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another. You know how often? Daily. Encourage one another daily. God loves it when we do that. He put us here to do that. So let's do it. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for this school. Thank you for Melissa. Thank you for Alice. Thank you for everybody who makes it work so beautifully. Lord, thank you for these kids. And I know some of these kids really, really love you, Jesus. And I know some of them are kind of sort of floating. But Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us here to encourage each other this school year to stand firm in the truth you've given us in your word and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we will glorify you. Lord, we know, and you certainly know better than we do, that we are facing a world that is very, very confused about what's right and what's wrong and about you and about your truth. So help us, in the face of that onslaught, to stand firm in your word and in your truth. Thank you so much for raising up Paul. Thank you so much for the people that came to Christ in Philippi. Thank you so much for the way he encouraged them and us as you caused it to be put into your word through this little letter. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, use us for your glory today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.